We are checking in now with Governor Ned Lamont. You hear him in our news an awful lot since the legislative session wrapped up, mostly because a lot of those bills that got approval are now being signed into law this week alone. Very busy stuff that's been going on with the governor. He joins us back on the show. Hey, Governor Lamont, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa.
I'm glad to have you back here. I know this week just alone, you had a SNAP supplemental funding announcement that happened earlier this week. We just had Senator Maroney on actually a few moments before you came on to talk about the AI and social media bill signing into law. Talk about what you felt were some of the biggest success stories out of the legislative session this year.
Well, let's pick up where James Maroney left off. I think government was a little slow in protecting our kids from social media, so we wanted to make sure we're here to protect our kids from AI. A lot of those algorithms who really can target kids and lead to, some bad outcomes. So we did everything we could working with James to make sure we had parental control. So you have a younger child, you make sure they only have access to those algorithms with your permission, limit the number of hours they can do that, and generally try and put some guardrails around AI to keep people protected. I think that was really important. You mentioned SNAP, that was more recently, but the federal government keeps cutting back on food support. I think you remember last fall how anxious people were. They weren't going to be able to provide food for their kids, and we were able to step up.
Yeah, that was a big deal. And so we believe we had that in our news as well. There was the funding for SNAP, but also this week, I believe there was the medical debt relief that's going to 97,000 residents, give or take. I might have that number wrong, but that also came out this week.
Yeah, we have forgiven medical debt for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of folks. These are guys that get hit with an enormous hospital bill due to no fault of their own, sometimes some unexpected charges in there. And that debt can sit on their record and impact their ability to borrow and other things. So we've been able to work for the hospitals to get a lot of that debt forgiven, which allows them to get on with their lives.
And there was also the first, or I should say the inaugural meeting of your Blue Ribbon Commission on K-12 Education Funding and Accountability. In fact, Kate Diaz is a member of that. She's the president of the Connecticut Education Association. She's a frequent guest on the show. And a question I had asked her when I learned she was going to be part of this, so I haven't talked to her since yesterday's meeting. I don't know if you have any insight into how that went. But the thing I had asked was, should we have done this sooner rather than later? So obviously this session, a lot of money was put towards the education aid that people needed, but also municipal aid. I think it's a good call, obviously, but it's kind of a Band-Aid on something that needs to be looked at a lot deeper. You know, how are we investing in our schools and how much money really needs to go back to them? So that's the point, really, of this Blue Ribbon Commission. But do you feel like we should have done this sooner, Governor?
Here's what we did do. We've increased funding for our schools every year, well over $400 million over the last, 7 or 8 years. And on top of that, Melissa, we've almost doubled the amount of funding for special ed. But to your point, a lot of our towns are still having a hard time keeping up. So one of the things we did was, let's look at that ECS formula. Let's make a plan for the next 10 years. What's the right mix of funding? And then where should that funding go? One of the things the K-12 Commission is going to look at, and all the stakeholders are there, superintendents, parents, legislators, teachers, mayors, is a special emphasis upon special ed. Maybe it's tough for every town to manage special ed themselves. Maybe this is a place where the state should step in. We can negotiate better local solutions for them, saving the town's money, property taxpayers' money, and probably a better option for the kids. They're more likely to stay local.
And here's the thing, Governor Lamont, and I think you and I talked about this, that I don't hate the idea of looking to see where is our money going. Are we being as efficient? Are we actually doing the accountability that we should be to see where the dollars are going? I think it's a good idea. We're seeing it just in even local government, right? I mean, so I don't hate the idea of like checking the books. Let's see, do we have a lot of overhead? You know, I get that. And I actually really like that idea. But my question is, why now? I mean, ECS formula, to your point, yes, investments are different than the formula. The formula hasn't been touched in over a decade. And to me, it constantly, every single year, you hear about we need more and more and more to go back in education. Why didn't we create this commission your first term or your second term? Why are we doing it now?
Well, going back you know, when we started out, we were in the middle of a phase in of increases every year under the ECS formula, which allocates money, especially to those schools that are most in need. And we accelerated those payments. Then in addition to that, we provided a variety of other tests in terms of high dosage tutorials and literacy and LEAP program to make sure kids get back into school. Those are sort of the tests we've been doing. Now we're able to absorb that, think about what that funding formula is going to be for the next 10 years. But you're right, Melissa. Generally, people say more funding. We'll figure out how we make the biggest difference later. I want to do both.
So they're going to give you results of their findings in January of 2027 ahead of the next legislative session. Makes sense, so they can make recommendations. Are they, what exactly are they looking at, Governor Lamont? Like, are they going to go city to city, town to town? Are they looking at all 169 municipalities that they're spending, basically, and then seeing where they believe we could be doing better? Are they doing more of a general? Like, what exactly are they looking at before they then make some suggested solutions?
Yeah, Melissa, I think it's more broad-based. We can't do it to 169 towns, although our State Department of Education is stepping into some of our towns and cities that have a hard time managing their education budgets. But they're going to look at special education, like I said before, look at transportation costs, which are eating up more and more of the budget. We look at other states and how they've been able to bring down those transportation costs. Look at health care, Melissa. As you know, that's been going up double digits plus for many of our towns and school boards. Maybe be part of the Connecticut partnership, part of a bigger pool. You can bring down healthcare costs. So ways we just not just spend more, invest more, but also make sure it makes a difference for the kids.
It's interesting, though, Governor Lamont. It's funny that you brought up the Connecticut partnership, which is the state's healthcare plan. Norwalk recently voted to go back to their Cigna plans instead of the state health care plan. And I haven't spoken to the representatives that are, those are the teachers in Norwalk, but now they've got to go back to the budget process and try to allot another $3 million into their budget, even though they approved it. I thought that's interesting. Why would they not want to be on the state health care plan? And to your point, health care costs are insane. I was disappointed, to be honest, that for a third year in a row, we didn't see any more marketplace expansion. We didn't see the Connecticut public option. But I honestly, we also didn't see the association plans go through. I thought those were two, at least, options to widen the market and maybe find more affordable options for businesses, families, individuals, and neither of those passed.
Well, two things. Near term, take a look at the Connecticut partnership run by Sean Scanlon over the controller's office. You're right, Melissa. It doesn't work for every single town because some of our towns, say Fairfield County, have much more expensive health care costs. But I think for the vast majority of our towns, you'll find it can save you and your Board of Education money. But to your bigger point, you know, we're making a down payment on universal, affordable health care for everybody. It's just out of control right now. At the federal level, we're getting no help from the Trump administration. They're cutting back on subsidies and driving up insurance costs. So, again, I'm working with Sean. Some of our hospitals charge 50% less than other hospitals. So we're trying to figure out how we can manage those costs, make sure that you have access to health care with no copays or out of pocket, and make it just more affordable for our families. We talked about medical debt. Look what it's doing to our families.
We are chatting with Governor Ned Lamont here on WACC, and I want to spend the rest of this conversation, Governor Lamont, if you don't mind, talking about CSCU, because full transparency with you, CSCU has been a problem. To put it bluntly, since the fall of 2024, when the comptroller's audit came out and Terrence Chang ended up months later stepping down from his role, I have a lot of questions over the last 2 years. What's been going on with CSCU? They've had leadership controversies, resignations, and even a no confidence vote recently by some of the colleges that fall under the CSCU umbrella. So I want to first ask you, how do you feel about CSCU? I mean, let's start there.
It's two stories. Overall, CSCU are community colleges and the four colleges. They're doing better. Applications are up. We have debt-free community college. We are losing students at the community college level. Now they're coming back, especially since COVID. They're coming back. This is an elevator of opportunity, so we got to get it right. But Melissa, you're right. There have been some problems at the administrative level. And more recently, the chancellor was accused of some harassment issues. We take these very seriously. These are just allegations, but they're serious allegations. He stepped aside. He's no longer there. We have an independent investigation to make sure that there's no stone unturned. We figure out what happened and make sure what we can do to put in place processes that it's much less likely ever to happen again. But broadly, we've got new leadership there at the system. We have a new head of the Board of Regents. We have a new acting chancellor, Natalie Braswell, who comes out of my office. So we've got good momentum at the CSU system, but we've got to get the management under control.
I'm going to start from the beginning. So we find out in November of 2024 that there was misspending with the P card through the CSU system. Terrence Chang is mentioned multiple times. It is proven in those documents that were supported by the comptroller's audit. And I want to know why he wasn't removed faster than what we saw with the Meduco case. Again, alleged with Meduco. It was proven with Chang, but Chang didn't actually step out of that role for months and even then was still kept on in some regard with CSU as a consultant. I don't even know what he really does, to be honest. Still making over $400,000 a year, and I want to know why.
So what happened with Terrence Chang was, you're right, he's got a company credit card. He put too many expenses on there. It's supposed to be strictly for state business. And paid too much for steak meals and apparently some chauffeured drives home. So, look, we said you got to go on administrative leave. You got to step aside, which he did. No longer is a chancellor. He still had a contract that goes for, I think, another 3 weeks or something like that. So we put him on a task looking around the country, working, as part of our Pathways Commission. What is working in terms of job placement and how do we get to CSU? It was a step back, but he's no longer there as chancellor, and that was the really important point. Obviously, with Meduco, it was different. That was a harassment claim brought, and we put him on administrative leave. He stepped aside. He resigned. But that doesn't mean we don't make sure the investigation is thorough. That's what we're doing now.
No question. I guess with Chang, it took months for him to actually step down, and even then, it kind of felt like a slap on the wrist. You don't have a title anymore, but you're still going to make over $400,000 a year, even though it was proven that you didn't spend appropriately. You just said he broke a rule. He was spending inappropriately, which is not what you're supposed to do. You were taking advantage of a system, but you're still going to make a ton of money. More money, and we don't even know what he does. I still have never been told what he actually has been doing to make that money.
Well, take a look at the report he did, and then you can make that judgment. I think it's out now or about to be made public, so that's a good thing. Look, he spent too much on his credit card. He's no longer chancellor. You could say he should have been fired and have a lawsuit and go about that. I think he paid for his, what he did on the credit card. I think that's very important. He's no longer chancellor. He'll be off that contract, which extends another 3 weeks, within 3 weeks. So I think we got a good balance there going forward. Most importantly, though, Melissa, is what's going on at the CSU system. Are the community colleges back on the rise? Yes, they are. Is Miguel Cardona with the Pathways Commission making sure that these skills you get at our colleges are translated into jobs? We're getting that process going right now. So I like the direction we're going. But whenever I see allegations, we get to the bottom of them. We hold people accountable.
And I'm glad that we do. But you really feel like it sets a good precedent, Governor Lamont, with all due respect, to keep somebody like Terrence Chang in even a role that makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And do you feel like it sets a great precedent? I mean, the fact is that you had colleges under CSU vote no confidence and call the news surrounding CSU an embarrassment. They're embarrassed. They don't feel like they're a priority.
Well, this was the judgment of the Board of Regents, and that's an independent group. They made that call. They said because somebody spent too much on his credit card and we can't, do I fire that person or do I take them out of the role as chancellor and put them in a different position just to finish off the existing contract? That was the decision the Board of Regents made. And I can understand, how they made that decision. But we're really strict. I mean, we go after this. We do audits of P cards all over the state. We manage this. Do we fire everybody every time they overspend on something? No, but we do hold them accountable, and that's what we did in this case.
But all the accountability was, with all due respect, Governor, was you lost your title. The guy is still making insane amounts of money. I mean, he is, and I don't even know what he's doing. I still have not been told, even in this conversation, what he's doing. I don't actually know what he does. Like, what allows him to make...
All he did was lose his title, but he's no longer, chancellor. So that was a big shift. You're right. Now he did a 12-month research progress on CSU systems all over the country, getting that back to the Board of Regents. They have that now. I think that should be public so people who are skeptical like you can say, this was meaningful and helpful, or this was a waste of time and a slap on the wrist. But don't jump to conclusions. You might as well take a look at what he did. And again, that contract is over in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, and I very much look forward to reading that whatever he's producing. I'd love to see what he comes up with. I'm not discrediting him for that. But I think you can understand the criticism that people would have when we say that we're holding people accountable when it on the surface, it doesn't look that way. So, yeah, I'd love to read that report, and I look forward to reading it. The other thing, Governor, though, I want to know is an interim was put into place. Maduka was put into place. He's now out of that. As you mentioned, you have a new interim. I've had CBIA on, many people who actually are very excited for both the interim chair of the Board of Regents as well as the interim chancellor. I'm hopeful for that. I'm very happy about that. But I want to know what was going on for the past year that Maduka was in place. So the Board of Regents is saying that we now have a new interim chancellor again, and they're going to start a nationwide search in the fall. What was happening in the last year that Maduka was the interim chancellor? Were we not searching for a permanent solution?
You got to ask the Board of Regents that.
I did.
But,
they won't answer me.
He was the interim chancellor. The Board of Regents was doing a nationwide search, which I thought was the right thing to make sure we can learn from what's going on in other states, Melissa, and get the right person there. Ari Santiago, as you pointed out, has taken over as the chair of the Board of Regents. You know, experienced private sector guy who really wants to make sure we have significant reforms to make sure the CSU system is all it can be. And Natalie Braswell is really an experienced hand, and both of them are going to go to every single one of the players there at the CSU system, sit down, see what their concerns are, and make sure we're listening to them. They have a place at the table. But often there's a real resentment in terms of doing some reforms as well. So that's the back and forth you have at jobs like that.
The last thing, Governor Lamont, because I know we're up against the clock, but the last thing I wanted to get kind of your reaction, and I'd just love to hear from you directly. When you hear from students, or maybe you haven't, but I know I have heard from students, faculty, administrations that are under CSU, when they feel like CSU is not a priority, but places like UConn is clearly a priority. UConn matters. UConn is claim to fame for Connecticut. What is your reaction to that? How does that make you feel? The fact that students and faculty, I know you're saying numbers are up. I know you're saying people are using CSU. I honestly think part of that is because it's the more affordable option with good education. So that's a good thing. But when you hear people or you hear the vote of no confidence, feeling like they are not a priority, if they're not a UConn, they don't matter. What do you think about that?
Well, often not a priority means we're not getting as much state funding as we think we should get. And I hear that every municipality and school and UConn and et cetera. But that said, it's an absolute priority for us. And that's the message I've got to give. And that's what Ari's going to do. That's what Natalie's going to do. That's why I get to these schools and colleges all as much as I can. I used to teach at CCSU. I spend a lot of time there to remind people we respect you. We value you. We need you. I need your opinion at the table. We're making some progress at these schools, but I need you rowing in the same direction. Give us your best ideas. How can we do better?
Governor Lamont, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I always do appreciate you giving us the time here on WACC. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.